Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. Thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. Our hope is to share information, inspiration, and stories of impact so that you can go out and make a difference in our community in your own unique way. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. Every quarter, we sponsor a nonprofit through our EIG Charitable Foundation. The first quarter this year, we're sponsoring a nonprofit that is really special to so many of us animal lovers here at the office. It's not a humane society like you might think. We've actually supported a number of them in past years, but this nonprofit does have to do with animals. In fact, had I known about this organization years ago, I could have worked with them on a few encounters I have had, like a family of baby bunnies in our front yard with a hawk lurking around, or the lone baby deer in the middle of a busy Brookfield road, or a very protective mama turkey protecting her young in her nest that was right off our driveway. She'd squawk very loudly whenever I would get into my car. And I found myself Googling, like, what does a mama turkey like to eat? And I thought, okay, nuts and berries, I can provide that. Maybe not so much the snails and the slugs, but I was able to get some berries and nuts. But perhaps you have had some unique encounters of your own. What should you do if you come across a situation like these? Because sometimes there's more harm that you can do than you might expect. I wish I had known when I was dealing with these situations, but I do know now, and now you can know as well who to call when facing a situation similar to mine. Joining me today is Kim Banich, Executive Director of Wildlife in Need, whose mission is wildlife rehabilitation through the treatment and care of injured, diseased, or orphaned Indigenous wildlife and return of healthy, viable animals to appropriate habitats in the wild. Welcome to the show today, Kim.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for letting us share our mission that's so essential to help our Wisconsin wildlife.
Absolutely. In fact, we had you today in for a lunch and learn as our featured nonprofit charity recipient, and you brought in a friend that you could share with our employees, and you just shared with all of us about the great work that you do so that we in turn can talk to others, whether it's a client, whether we're out in the community, whether it's our families, just talk to others about how we can help in your mission. And that's really our goal as we do these interviews today. But why don't we start by having you tell us what inspired you in the first place to start working at the Wildlife in Need Center?
Yeah, so I've always loved animals, always loved wanting to helping them. And when I started in 2009 as a baby bird feeder with my son, you could say that Wildlife in Need Center had me at hello. Mm. And I've never left. I've been there ever since then. And it's just an amazing mission. Very passionate people that work there, that volunteer there, that are there to help give these wildlife a second chance at life.
Well, and I love that because, again, being an animal lover, every time you see an animal suffering, you want to do something. You want to help in some way. Walk us through a typical day at the Wildlife in Need Center.
So it kind of depends on the season, but I would say that no day is a typical day because it could be baby orphan season and you think you're just, you're going to get the orphans, but you end up getting 40 different kind of species in a day. And that can be very challenging because they all require different habitats. They all require different medication and different food.
Yeah. Do you staff a local vet?
So we do. We actually added a volunteer veterinarian this past year, Dr. Bloss. She is on site one day, sometimes 2 days a week. And it's amazing that we're now able to do on-site surgeries and we're able to get care for our sickest and our most delicate patients.
And I imagine it's so rewarding when you get to help an animal in need. What would you say is the most rewarding part of the work that you do?
Any time that you get to see an animal either hop away or soar free, or just, you know, get that second chance at life, it's very, very rewarding. You know, whether they came in as a tiny, tiny orphan hummingbird or it was a red-tailed hawk that had crashed through somebody's window or it was a fox or coyote that was suffering mange. It's so rewarding to see that animal just fly free and soar free
and be healthy and go back to its natural habitat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure you have a ton of heartwarming stories of impact. Is there one in particular, a particularly memorable story about an animal that you helped?
Yeah, so recently we had a short-eared owl patient that was found on the ground, unable to fly. So it had a gunshot wound in its wing. And so we were able to, with the expert veterinary care that our staff provide and Dr. Bloss does, we were able to release this animal after about 2.5 months, and he's back home.
Mm, yeah. Wow. What's one thing you think most people don't know about the challenges of wildlife rehabilitation?
I think most people don't realize how difficult it is and the challenges, because you got to think when we're treating 140 different species on an annual basis, you know, from tiny hummingbirds to, you know, injured squirrels or orphan squirrels or orphan raccoons to red-tailed hawks and fox and coyote, everything is different. You know, their medication that they get is different. The food they get is different. And their type of enclosure, whether, you know, they have a fractured wing and they need to be on cage rest or their wing has healed and they need to go to our flight enclosure to rebuild those flight muscles. So on a daily basis, there's so many different aspects that come into wildlife rehabilitation.
And people can just call you, right? And you can walk that person through what to do, what not to do, right?
Yes, yes. We answer about 10,000 phone calls every year. And it is whether the animal needs help, whether to not intervene. We do get a lot of fawn calls and we do tell people it's, you know, mom left it right next to that tennis court because she's comfortable there. And, you know, as long as the animal isn't injured or something, we're going to coach people to leave them alone. Because just because you find an animal alone doesn't mean they're an orphan. Or, you know, obviously if they are bleeding or they have a broken wing, broken leg, you know, then those are obvious cases that they do need help, but oftentimes they do not.
Yeah. And as you said in our lunch and learn today, it's best to keep wildlife out in their natural habitat. There are some situations where you can't due to injury or something else, but the best case scenario is to keep them or rehabilitate them so that they can go back into their natural habitat. Well, Kim shared a memorable story a little bit ago that she experienced, but there are so many wonderful and some unusual rescue stories that she's part of, and some of them you might be surprised about. So stay tuned to hear about some of the other wildlife patients that the center gets to see and if there are any trends that they're seeing. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Allenbecker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit allenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community. I'm talking in the studio today with Kim Banich, Executive Director of the Wildlife and Needs Center. Kim, I've heard of some of the unusual patients that you've seen at the center before. Share with our listeners who some of those patients are and what brings them to the center. And also, if you're seeing any trends.
Yeah, so some of the trends that we are seeing is we're seeing a lot of animals with suffering from rodenticide poisoning. And it's people are poisoning the rodents outside of their house. And one summer we admitted, or spring, we admitted 4 great horned owlets. And sadly, all of them were suffering from rodenticide poisoning. And it's because the parents were out eating their meal and they were coming back to feed their babies and they were feeding them rodents that had eaten rodenticide. And normally we do reunite all of the baby owlets back to their parents. We work with tree climbers, and after we give them a couple meals, we have the tree climber create a nest with a basket that we give them, and they reunite the animal, the owlet, back with their parents. But sadly, these owlets, none of them could be reunited because they all had rodenticide poisoning. So they stayed with us for about 5 months. And when they were able to go out to our spacious flight enclosure, after they got big enough, they joined another adult great horned owl that we had for almost a year. We were just waiting for his blood feathers to fully molt so we could release him. Well, he taught those 4 great horned owlets how to hunt. So if we didn't have him, you know, it was just serendipity had it that these 5 came together, and we staffed that. We put pools in there and we put live mice, which we don't normally do, but we do have to make sure that these animals can hunt. And I had great news that they all were released, and those kind of days are very, very rewarding.
I imagine.
That they get to go back to the wild.
Yeah. Well, and I'm assuming you would obviously tell people to use animal-friendly repellent. I mean, I think you're talking about what, like Roundup, that kind of a thing?
No, it's like the Decon that people poison. You know, it's the blue stuff.
Okay. So is there animal-friendly stuff out there?
There are, but okay. I would have to figure out what the name of that is.
Okay.
So I don't know what that is.
So maybe we can Google that and try and do animal-friendly types of things. I know you had mentioned again that you can get online deterrents like coyote urine or, you know, other things that will deter certain animals from maybe it's a raccoon, which we struggle with, that make their home underneath our deck in the back. You know, there are things that you can do that are more friendly than those toxic options.
Well, basically what you do is you just become a very bad neighbor. It's like if your neighbor was playing loud music all night long, you would not want to stay there. So if you have those raccoons underneath your porch, you're going to put on talk radio, you're going to put on lights, and you're going to maybe put some stinky fox pee or coyote pee down there, and they're just going to be like, I don't want to raise my babies here. So, you know, and it's the same thing you can do with a groundhog that's going underneath your shed. You know, cuz you don't want to trap the mom, potentially the mom, because you'd be leaving the babies behind underneath there. And then the babies are going to die, and then they're going to bring in more animals. So
I think that's important for people to know, because I think trapping is one way that people think they can help. They're going to rehome this animal, but you're saying
it's not a good thing. It's a death sentence. I mean, one, it's illegal to release an animal on somebody's property without permission. Even if it's a state park, you can't do that. So, and it's just where that animal lived, it is their home. It's where their family is. It's their kitchen. You know, so the best way is if you have those raccoons, you know, in your attic or in your trailer, you're going to just do things. Like I said, you're going to become a bad neighbor. And the Wildlife and Needs Center, we deal with a lot of those phone calls every year, and we give advice. What are the best ways, you know, to help those things?
What about, speaking of unusual patients, do you ever welcome reptiles?
Yes, we do get a lot of reptiles. We do get snakes this time of year. People find them in their basement. We also do get a lot of, you know, tree frogs. People have them in their plants outside, and then they bring them in and they call us and they say, hey, we've got a tree frog on my kitchen, you know. And, you know, but it kind of depends on the season. We do get a lot of turtles in like June when they're crossing the road to lay their eggs. And the ones that have severe injuries, we can work with them. We do, you know, their shells heal very slowly, but we do release them. You know, we do take care of them. And once their shell is healed, we do release them back to the wild. And those that cannot be released because their injuries are too severe, those animals, we do x-ray. And if they have eggs, we harvest them and we put them into our turtle hatchling program. And this last year, we released about 280 turtle hatchlings, mm-hmm. which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think of another situation where I had a nest of little baby bunnies. And we live in a wooded area, so we have hawks and owls lurking above. And so I put the laundry basket over the top of it. You said that you deal with a lot of bunnies, that's like all yeah. year round kind of a thing?
Well, they breed all spring, summer long. Yeah, they do. So, but we do get a lot of phone calls that people say, oh, I found these bunnies and, you know, my dog is in, you know, getting into the nest. And so we always want to try to keep the babies with the mom as long as they're not injured or sick or something. But the cottontails, what we do is, like you said, we coach people to put a basket over there, a laundry basket over the nest, and you just remove it you have it off at dusk and dawn, because mom is only going to come. She's going to sit on top of the nest, let the babies nurse, and then she's going to leave. She is not going to stay there. She has a scent. Her baby cottontails do not. And so she does not want to stay there. So she's just there for a very short period of time. And they're only in the nest for about 3 weeks. So it's not very long. And if you try to dig another nest and move them on the other side of the fence, that's a death sentence for those cottontails, because mom only knows where the nest is, where she made it.
Okay.
Not where you put it.
Yeah. Well, again, I think our intention is to do good, but we don't realize that there are so many things that we could be doing that are causing harm. I imagine that you can't do all this work by yourself. Do you enlist volunteers at all? And if so, what role do they play in the success of the center?
So we would never be able to treat the 2,700 animals that we get on an annual basis without our volunteers. We have animal care volunteers, and we have our education volunteers. We have office volunteers. We have maintenance volunteers. The animal care volunteers is our largest pool. We also do have baby bird feeders, and that is for ages 12 and up. And that would just be during like the summer months when kids are out of school. And our volunteer base is about 150 year-round volunteers, mm-hmm. with another 50 to 70 baby bird feeders. So we would never be able to do what we do without our volunteers.
So if you have a love of animals, particularly wildlife, wild animals, then think about volunteering at the Wildlife and Needs Center. What about donations? How do they make a difference in the care and recovery of wildlife patients?
We wouldn't be able to deliver the care that they need without donations. We would not have the food, the medication, their enclosures. We would not be able to have any of that. We wouldn't be able to have our amazing, talented staff. Our staff are there 365 days a year, along with many of our volunteers as well.
Do you go into schools? You mentioned, you know, the education piece.
Yes, we do. We do go into schools. We do some community and civic groups as well. But the bulk of our education programs are done. It's K through six. There are middle school and upper, you know, some high school programs, even college programs too. But we'll go into, you know, retirement centers, you know, too.
To just let them see the animals, I think. How often are you going to get to see Chase, Mr. Skunk, come in and see a skunk up close?
And they, you know, when we do that, we're spreading wildlife wisdom, and we're teaching not only that, you know, younger generation how to become wildlife enthusiasts, it's also to teach, you know, adults what are the best ways to help our Wisconsin wildlife, when they need help, when they don't need help. And if you don't know, then you always call the Wildlife in Need Center, our wildlife hotline. We always are there to help.
And what is that number?
The Wildlife in Need Center's phone number is 262-965-3090. Again, that's 262-965-3090. And our website is www.helpingwildlife.org. That has lots of valuable information on there as well.
And again, you'll find this information in our show notes if you haven't had a chance to jot it down.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Kim, what's your vision for the future? You guys are doing so many wonderful things, educating people, caring for our wonderful wildlife. What do you foresee for the future of Wildlife in Need?
So the vision would be to continually expand our wildlife rehabilitation efforts and our education efforts. There's just a growing need for wildlife centers. There aren't any others around this area that treat the amount of species that we treat. You know, the smallest of them would be the little orphan hummingbird that needs help, or a little least weasel that needs help, or, you know, the songbirds, the baby songbirds that fell from their nest that weren't able to be reunited with their parents. Those, they need a place to come. And so we're always looking at ways we can expand our facilities and expand our outdoor enclosures to just meet the demand for all of those animals. Even up to the biggest of animals, our great horned owls, our American bald eagle, a fox and coyote.
And you guys are physically located out in Oconee, right?
Yep, we are in Oconomowoc.
Okay.
Yes.
And so do you welcome visitors to come and see what's going on, or they need to call first, make an appointment? If someone's curious and maybe they want to make a donation, or they just want to see Wildlife in Need in action.
So we are open pretty much 365 days a year. Major holidays, the office does close. And we do have an on-site gathering room where we do have several of our educational ambassadors. You might be able to see two of our flying squirrels. We've got some turtles and snakes in there, and a little cute little Fergus, our tree frog, is in there as well. And so that room is open to the public. And there is our mammal nursery window that during the summer months, you can see mammal feedings. But the Wildlife Hospital is closed to the public, except for one time a year. In the summer, we do open it up for four behind-the-scenes tours. So the wildlife patients, the only way that they're going to have a good success rate, success release rate, is to have the least amount of human contact. Mm-hmm. The only time that we are with them is when they're being cared for, when their enclosure needs to be cleaned, when they need veterinary care, or they need feeding. We look like a big scary gorilla. We look like we're going to eat them. Our voices sound like a growl. So they are afraid of us. They do not want to be by us.
Which is what you want, as
right.
You say.
Yeah. And when, oftentimes the animals that are brought into us, they are so near death. You know, you're not going to be able to go get a great horned owl if, you know, they're in good health. If they're on the ground, obviously something is wrong.
Yeah. Now we've, many of us in the who love animals have heard of foster fails. Have you had any rehab fails?
Rehab fails. Let's see. Like, is that as far as an animal that was not able to be released back to the wild? Unfortunately, yes, there are those cases. And, you know, there are cases that sometimes they're rehabilitated, their injury is no longer, it is healed, but they're not going to have a good life in the wild because they're not able to make that flight. They're not able to, you know, say maybe they're having some vision issues. And we work with zoos. zoos and we work with other wildlife centers. Well, we will drive the animal down to the Florida Keys. We drove a pelican down to the Florida Keys to be with its forever pelican, forever mate. We've flown a bald eagle to Oregon to their Eagle Canyon exhibit, and it's with its forever mate. So, and there are sometimes some of our ambassadors where we had Lenny and Lucius, our two Virginia opossums. They came in with their three other siblings, and their three siblings developed their wild instincts and would growl at you and did not want anything to do with us. But Lenny and Lucius would come right up to us, and they just developed, they did not develop their wild instincts. So they joined our ambassador program. And
rehab fail.
Well, I guess so. We don't like to look at it that way, but
I mean, it's a, yeah. I mean that in an endearing way, of mm-hmm. course, because you're not going to be able to release all of them.
No.
And it's important, I think, for the audience to know that,
yeah,
you know, you do take care of them then mm-hmm. if you are not able to rehome them.
Right.
Because I'm sure people are wondering about that.
And there are times like Aspen, our flying squirrel, he was taken care of. He was found as an orphan, and someone thought they were doing the right thing, and they had him for about 3 months. And sadly, his eyes opened and was not with another flying squirrel. So he thought, you know, humans are his other counterpart. And so he never developed his wild instincts. Mm. So we tried to see if he would develop his wild instincts, but he didn't. So he joined our ambassador program. He's now with Acorn.
Okay.
Forever
See,
female.
That's again, I think inquiring minds want to know, you know, what happens for those that you just can't rehabilitate. If someone's listening today and they have a love for wildlife and they want to get involved or support your mission in some way, tell us what's the best way to do that and reiterate the website information and the call line, the hotline number.
Yeah. So our website is www.helpingwildlife.org. And there's all sorts of valuable information there, whether it's about education or if you found an animal that you think needs help or if you want to give a donation. There's donate links on there. If you want to learn about planned giving, legacy gifts make an incredible impact. And, you know, sometimes we know about them and sometimes we don't. And when you get a $300,000 legacy gift, that means that, you know, we're going to be around for the next generation and the next generation. And our phone number is 262-965-3090. Again, that's 262-965-3090. And you can call pretty much 365 days a year, whether you have wildlife questions, whether you want to ask about when our next volunteer training is. We do have one coming up in January, but we schedule those pretty much during the winter months and the fall months, just not during the busy season.
Okay.
So, which is pretty much from May through, you know, September. So baby bird feeding orientations are around May, and that's for the ages 12 and up. So those you can just watch our website. We do also have a Facebook that we do several postings a week on.
Okay, so. Very good. And if you are an organization that does corporate giving, like similar to what we do when we support nonprofits on a quarterly basis, think about doing something like that. We're also building bird houses and nesting boxes here internally, our employees here to help out. So there are things that you can do. Again, there's an Amazon wish list. There are ways that you can help wildlife in need and support their mission. So thank you for being here today, Kim Banich, Executive Director of Wildlife in Need. I appreciate you sharing your personal stories and how you provide support to the wonderful and beautiful animals that we share this earth with. So thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks for listening to our show today, MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where you learn about nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. To hear more inspiring stories and perhaps find a place to plug in and share your time, talent, and resources, Just tap the subscribe button or go to ellenbecker.com/podcasts. Whether you're in your home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you hadn't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.